From the University of Texas at Austin, KUT Radio, this is In Black America.
What happened was there was a rebellion in Detroit, a racial rebellion, the riot of 1943, which I remember well. I was only 7 years old, but I remember it very, very well, because my father brought a black man who had been jumped on by a mob. He brought him home and kept him overnight and drove him back the next day. That was in 1943, and Will got summoned to the Chicago superintendent's office, because the Chicago superintendent had met with the Detroit superintendent, and the Detroit superintendent asked the Chicago superintendent if he knew a good black athletics man that might be able to come in and go to Miller High School and work with the kids there, because there was a lot of racial strife at the time. So the Chicago superintendent volunteered Will against Will's wishes. Will at the time was a coach at DuSable High School in Chicago. It was a brand new Gleman High School, and Miller was a converted junior high school with a little teeny gym, no track, no football field.
Dr. John Talford, activist, educator, track coach, and author of Will the First, the saga of sports civil rights pioneer Will Robinson. Talford has written a spellbinding book about his coaching colleague at Pershing High School in Detroit, Michigan, the late legendary Will Robinson. Both men were All-Americans, Talford as a sprinter at Wayne State University in the 1950s, and Robinson as a quarterback at West Virginia State in the 1930s. As the first African-American coach in the Detroit public schools, Robinson led his basketball teams at Miller High in the 1940s to four consecutive city titles. At Pershing in the late 1960s, Robinson's team won state titles with future collegiate and pro stars and Naismith Hall of Famer Spencer Haywood and Ralph Simpson, and later Bubba Hawkins. In 1970, Robinson became the first African-American coach to lead an NCAA Division I basketball team when he went to Illinois State University. There, he had five winning seasons before returning to Detroit to scout for the Pistons and subsequently becoming their assistant general manager, a position he held well into his 90s. I'm Johnny O'Hanson Jr., and welcome to another edition of In Black America. On this week's program, Will the First with author Dr. John Talford, In Black America.
Will was a motivator, and he didn't put up with any nonsense. I mean, you know, he had that he had that lanyard, and
yes,
you
did.
Know, the kid made two mistakes. It was, you know, bend over due east and whack. You know, those were the days when you can do that. Although I can remember the principal coming into the office one day and saying to Will, Robinson, I want you to stop hitting those kids with that lanyard. And Will said, okay, chief. And then as soon as the principal was gone, Will got a bucket of water and dipped a shoelace in the water and whap, you know, face due east. You
right.
know, there was no way Will was going to change any of his style for a principal or anybody else. I mean, because what he did worked, and he stayed with that process.
Will Robinson cared deeply about his players. He sent 300 of them to college on scholarships and 30 to the professional ranks. Born on June 3, 1911 in Waynesboro, North Carolina, Robinson quarterbacked in Steubenville, Ohio high school football team and finished second in the state high school golf tournament despite not being allowed to play the course at the same time as whites. He won 15 varsity letters in four sports at West Virginia State College before graduating in 1937. In June 1938, Robinson graduated from the University of Michigan with a master's degree in physical education. He returned to Steubenville to begin his teaching career. That teaching career was put on hold. The vacancy in physical education at the high school went to a white without a master's degree and wasn't a starter on the same teams he had played on with Robinson. As luck and fate would have it, he found a job in Pittsburgh at the Central Street Y. From there was no looking back. Robinson scouted for the Pistons for 28 years and scouted part-time for the Detroit Lions for 22 years. Midway through the 2003-04 season en route to their third title, the Pistons renamed their locker room the Will Robinson Locker Room of Champions. Robinson also joined Spencer Haywood in a successful legal challenge to the NBA's ban on underclassmen. Robinson died on April 28, 2008. He was 96. Recently, In Black America spoke with my former high school track coach, Dr. John Talfort.
Well, John, it's a real privilege to be talking to one of my old hurdlers from way back in the 1960s and talking about one of our mutual acquaintances and my friend, Coach Will Robinson, the great Will Robinson, who is the first African-American coach in Detroit and actually in the state of Michigan and did so many great things. It's just a real privilege and honor to be able to have written his life story and to be able to talk about it on the air today.
Now, you told us earlier that your first love was baseball, but then you ran a 40-yard dash and the coach said, no, you're going to run track now?
Yeah, that was what happened. They tied me in 4-5 when I was 15 years old at Northwestern, and that was on grass. You know, it wasn't on this rubberized stuff. And once they did that, they said no baseball. But I had played nothing but baseball since I was just a little kid. You know, I played it all the time.
I understand. What led you to write this book on Will Robinson?
Well, I had promised Will years ago I was going to write his life story. And I told him I'd do it as soon as I got my doctorate. That even when I was at Pershing, I was taking doctoral classes, and I had to write my dissertation so I could, you know, move into being a principal and going up the education ladder. But I never forgot my promise to Will. And every now and then, you know, he would remind me, you know, over a 40-year period. I wrote a lot of newspaper columns about him because I was a newspaper columnist. But I never did get around, and I wish I had got around to writing that book before Will passed. I did write it a few years after he passed. And what got me started doing it was an old girlfriend of Will's said to me, you know, Will said you were going to write his life story, and I've got tapes that he's made. You want to come over and listen to them? And I went over and listened to the tapes, and I said, yeah, I can write a book from this, because I already had an awful lot of information regarding Will, having been his friend for the last 43 years of his life. So the book was a labor of love, and it was really very, very easy to write.
Tell us about Will's early childhood.
Will was born of a 12-year-old mother and a teenage father, and he was born in poverty down in the Carolinas. And he came up real hard, but he had the type of personality that people liked. Number one, they always liked him, and he was so determined to succeed. Nothing could keep Will down. Will was going to succeed at whatever he tried to do, and of course he ended up being, you know, not only the first African American coach in the state of Michigan, but he also was the first African American coach in Division I of the NCAA. And the first African-American scout in the NFL and the NBA, and the first African-American executive in the NBA, because into his 90s, he was deputy general manager of the Detroit Pistons.
Right. Tell us about his accolades at Steubenville, Ohio High School.
In Steubenville, Ohio High School, he was he and his cousin were the only African-American athletes on an all-white football team.
Mm-hmm.
And there were the coach had some reticence, even though Will was the best quarterback. The coach had some reticence about putting Will in the quarterback position. He was afraid there'd be some racial trouble. But he did put Will in the quarterback position, and the result was Will led that team to an undefeated season, unscored upon season, won the state football championship, and then ended up at West Virginia State on an athletic scholarship and became an All-America quarterback for West Virginia State. So Will was also a great athlete. He wasn't just a great coach and a great human being. He was a great athlete as well.
From West Virginia State, he attended the University of Michigan to
master's. He went to Michigan after that and took a master's degree, and he took that degree because that was way back in the 1930s, and Jim Crow was riding real high.
Mm-hmm.
And he figured that if he got a master's degree, it would give him a leg up on everybody else when it came to getting jobs.
But when he graduated from Michigan, went back to Ohio, and he still couldn't get a job.
Yeah, he couldn't right away, so he barnstormed. You know, he played on several semi-pro teams just to be able to eat, you know. But, you know, I tell all that stuff in Will the First, Will Robinson's story, And if people get the book, they'll see accolades from Spencer Haywood, you know, the great All-American right. basketball player that played for him when he had a state champion team at Pershing. He also had state champion teams at Miller, which was an all-black school in Detroit back in the 1940s. In fact, they won four consecutive city championships. I said state, I meant city, because Detroit wasn't in the state meet then. They didn't let us compete in the state meet for a variety of reasons, one of which I think was racial, because, you know, prior to our being put out of the state competition, black sprinters and ball players from Detroit were winning everything there was to win. So they gave us our own track meet and our own basketball tournament, our own football tournament for about, I think it was up to about 30 years. We got back in the early 1960s during the Civil Rights Movement.
I thought it was interesting the way you intertwined the track history of your track history along with Will Robinson's progression through athletics in Michigan. Obviously, that was a conscious decision that you made.
Yeah, it happened almost automatically because, John, if you'll recall, you know, some of my athletes were also on Will's basketball team.
Right.
And some of Will's basketball players were on my track team, and they were the same athletes. And also, you know, I had met Will years before. Will saw me win a bunch of races against Miller High School when Denby snapped their 45-meet winning streak.
Mm-hmm.
And Will came to me, and also Leroy Dews, who was coaching with him at Miller, and a couple of other, Lorenzo Wright also, came to me and recruited me to come down to Wayne. They wanted me to run for Lorenzo's coach and Mr. Dew's coach down at Wayne State. And I told them at the time, I can't do it now because I'm just a junior, but, you know, talk to me again next year and maybe I'll go down there. And I did. I ended up, after my senior year, I went down to Wayne State on a track scholarship and broke a lot of records down at Wayne State.
Will, college classmate Wendell Smith, who was a sports writer for the Pittsburgh Courier, got Will his first job in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he got Will a job at the YMCA in Pittsburgh. And Wendell had been a schoolmate of Will's at West Virginia State.
Right.
And Wendell, of course, was the was a very close friend of Jackie Robinson and traveled with him and was actually instrumental in getting him into the major leagues.
Now, what was it about that Y in Pittsburgh that gave Will a lot of satisfaction?
Well, it was kind of the social center of the city, and Will had a lot of prestige being the director of athletics. He also got married when he was there, and he developed a boxing program and all kinds of basketball programs. He had a basketball team there that was very very successful. And he just he enjoyed both the social life and the and his job, you know, in the athletic programs in Pittsburgh. But he was offered a job in Chicago that mm-hmm. paid a lot more, and so he went to Chicago in the early 1940s.
How did Will happen to get to Miller High School in Detroit?
What happened was there was a rebellion in Detroit, a racial rebellion, the riot of 1943, which I remember well. I was only 7 years old, but I remember it very, very well because my father brought a black man who had been jumped on by a mob. He brought him home and kept him overnight and drove him back the next day. That was in 1943. Will got summoned to the Chicago superintendent's office because the Chicago superintendent had met with the Detroit superintendent, and the Detroit superintendent asked the Chicago superintendent if he knew a good black athletics man that might be able to come in and go to Miller High School and work with the kids there, because there was a lot of racial strife at the time. So the Chicago superintendent volunteered Will against Will's wishes. Will at the time was a coach at DuSable High School in Chicago. It was a brand new Gleman High School, and Miller was a converted junior high school with a little teeny gym, no track, no football field, no swimming pool, no nothing, you know. But the Chicago superintendent made it very clear that he expected Will to take the Detroit job. So So Will moved his family to Detroit, and that's when history was made, because he won championships at Miller. He had had winning teams at Cass Tech, and then, of course, at Pershing. That was when he won two state basketball championships. That Pershing team, and John, you remember that Pershing
right.
team. That Pershing basketball team, in my view, was probably the best high school basketball team that ever played the sport of basketball. I'm not just talking about Michigan. I'm talking about everywhere, because they put four or five kids, not just into college scholarships for basketball. They put them in the pros. Now Spencer Haywood went to the pros. Ralph Simpson went to the pros. They were all pro, those two guys. And Glenn Dowdy was all pro in football. It was just an incredible basketball team. I've never seen a team that could match that team.
And also Marvin Lane in baseball.
Marvin Lane in baseball, yeah. I think you were in the same class. I taught right. you and him in the same English class.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If you're just joining us, I'm Johnny O. Hanson, Jr., and you're listening to In Black America from KUT Radio. We're speaking with Dr. John Talfort, activist, retired school superintendent, NCAA All-American sprinter, and author of Will the First, the Saga of Sports, Civil Rights Pioneer, Will Robinson. How did Will do so much with so less at Miller High School?
Will was a motivator, and he didn't put up with any nonsense. I mean, you know, he had that lanyard, and
yes,
you
did.
Know, if the kid made two mistakes, it was, you know, bend over due east and whack. You know, those were the days when you can do that. Although I can remember the principal coming into the office one day, and saying to Will, Robinson, I want you to stop hitting those kids with that lanyard. And Will said, okay, chief. And then as soon as the principal was gone, Will got a bucket of water and dipped a shoelace in the water and whap, you know, face due east. You
right.
know, there was no way Will was going to change any of his style for a principal or anybody else. I mean, because what he did worked, and he stayed with that process.
Will was also interested in the individual, irregardless of your athletic prowess. Everybody was treated equally.
That's right. And he also made sure that, you know, if his kids on the basketball team performed the way he expected them to and behaved themselves and were loyal to the program, he'd get them a basketball scholarship
right.
somewhere.
Exactly.
Because if they were good enough to play in his team, they were good enough to play somewhere. He got 300 kids over a 30-year period. He got 300 kids. That's an unbelievable number of kids into college on basketball scholarships.
When Will left Miller, he went to Cass Tech.
Yeah, he had a short stint at Cass, and then from there to Pershing.
And what was it about the Pershing job that really, we understand the two state championships, but what was it about Pershing that Will left a lasting legacy?
Well, just by winning the championship, you know, Pershing had never won anything in basketball, and the minute Will took over the program, you know, it started winning regional championships and district championships, making it into the semifinals of the state meet, and then finally, you know, winning it all. He won it all not only with Spencer Haywood and Ralph Simpson and those great athletes. He also won it again with Bubbles Hawkins and.
Right.
Some other really fine ball players that he really he ended up taking with him to Illinois State when he was offered the Illinois State job.
When Will went to Illinois State, it was a small, sleepy town, and he had to basically change the mindset and the culture there.
Yeah. Well, it was pretty easy to change that mindset. He brought a bunch of athletes in from Detroit and other inner cities, and he did a run and gun type of offense that they had never seen. You know, the speed basketball, you know, run and gun, run and gun, run and gun, down the floor, score, down the floor again, score. And they had, you know, the field house was standing room only. And these were all, almost all of them were African-American players, excepting for Doug Collins. So the Redbirds was the name of the team, but they Wags, you know, in the press started calling them the Blackbirds, you know, because they were practically all African-American. But they were winning, and now in Normal, Illinois, they got a statue of Will and one of his All-America athletes on the campus, a great big statue, which is on the cover, actually, of Will the First,
right.
The story of Will Robinson. But he, you know, he developed champions in a very, very difficult situation. because a lot of teams they didn't want to play them. they didn't want to play these guys from Illinois State because they were a really tough team with a great coach. I mean, Will Robinson was a great coach and a great man. Spencer Haywood, who was, as you know, an All-American at the University of Detroit,
right,
and an Olympian for Will, said that Will's long life was God's gift to the thousands of us whose lives he transformed, because Will transformed thousands of lives. And his great athlete at Miller said he was the greatest man he ever met. That was Charlie Primus, a good friend of mine, because he was also a great Wayne State star. He was an All-American basketball player at Wayne State a couple of years before I was an All-American sprinter at Wayne State.
Some of Will's former athletes had gone on to do great things. He's got school superintendents. We have doctors from all over the country.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Will's influence was long-lasting. And it just wasn't influenced with athletes because, he taught gym classes and Will didn't really teach basketball or teach athletics. He taught life. That's what he did. And people today, when you say Will Robinson, oh yeah, he was a great man. I remember him. I talked to guys who were, my age and mm-hmm. older, in their 80s, and they still remember what Will did for them. I run into guys all the time who remember Will.
When did Will start working for the Detroit Lions?
It was sometime late in the 19. I think it was wrong. I'd have to check the book. I have to check my notes. It was the 1950s, early 50s. He brought in Night Train Lane, and he brought in some other. Lem Barney. He brought Lem Barney in, the great defensive back. But it was the 1950s, and he also was scouting for the Pistons. He was doing it part-time with the Lions, and he did it part-time for a while with the Pistons, and mm-hmm. then he ended up going full-time with the Pistons. And that was when he left Illinois State to do that.
Will had an up-and-down personal life.
Well, yeah. And one of the things Will said to me was, John, make sure you put all my warts in there too, and tell the story about the women, because I was an object lesson of how not to live in that regard. Will was not a faithful husband, and he makes no bones about it in the tapes. He made no bones about it when he was talking to me. Well, you remember at Pershing, he had the dance teacher was his girlfriend there for a while. And about 30 years younger than him, and her parents were going crazy because she was white and he was black. And it was a difficult time for her because her parents were giving her all kinds of trouble, and they were leaning on the principal to do something about it. And that was Al Zack, and the principal said, and he told me, he said, what can I do? She's 23 years old, knows her own mind, but Will had a wandering eye. And he and I and Wayne Dyer, used to go out mm-hmm. and hit the bistro sometimes. And there were times that Will didn't end up at home in his own bed. It's just he makes no bones about it. I mean, he was not a faithful husband and regretted it in later years.
A lot of people don't know that without Will's suggestion, Dick Vitale wouldn't be Dick Vitale on TV.
Oh, no question about that. Dick Vitale said that Will Robinson steered me into sports casting at the national level. That was when he was just about to be fired from the Pistons coaching job,
mm-hmm.
and Will said to him, go into sports casting. I mean, you'd be really great at that, and that's what he did.
When you look back over the time Will and you spent together, what were some of the memorable moments that you all shared?
Well, I kind of sat at Will's knee, So some of the memorable moments in the beginning were, Will and I clashed initially because, I made, you remember Tom Alcorn
right,
Jones.
Right, exactly.
And Will would never let Tom play on his team because he thought Tom was, I can't say the word on television, but he thought Tom, messed up
mm-hmm.
a lot. And he wasn't wrong, that's why the kids called him Outlaw. But I told Tom to lock up the basketballs because there were kids out on the floor shooting baskets, and it was track season, and it was my floor time. And Will got real upset with me for doing that. And he couldn't believe that Tom would follow the direction of this new white coach when Will told him to unlock the basketballs. But Tom said to him, I can't do that, Mr. Robinson. Mr. Telford told me that that they have to be locked up. You know, this is track time now. And I clashed with Will on that and on some other occasions when I first came there. But eventually what we both realized was that we were a good team because I got his kids in shape and we had winners both in track. And that track team, John, I mean, I remember that track team.
Oh, yeah.
I coached track at Southeastern. I had George Wesson, who was a state champion. I had champions at Finney. But I never had a dual meet track team like that team at Pershing. That was the best dual meet team I think I've ever seen, not just that I coached, but anywhere. We were so deep. We had 50 kids on that team.
Exactly.
And quarter milers, you know, coming out of your ears. I had 8 quarter milers who could run under 52 seconds. Just in fact, no, I had 12. I had 12 quarter milers who could run under 52 seconds. Our third string relay team probably could have won the city meet, you know, and they did win the state meet, the first string, and broke the record and the city record too.
What was it about the athletic program? I'm trying to remember because it was you, Coach Robinson, Coach Dudes, that brought all those young, talented athletes together, and we competed on a high level, but there was no animosity between us.
Yeah, and we used to watch. I mean, the kids had to show us their report cards.
Exactly.
You know, I didn't, and
every
I had done that at Southeastern too, and at Finney. I mean, I didn't want to wait till card marking time. I wanted reports from the teachers every week to make sure they stay eligible. That's what we had the kids doing, and the kids knew it. They knew that they weren't going to play. They knew that they weren't going to run. They knew that they weren't even going to be wearing a uniform, you know, if they didn't get those grades, because the grades are the most important thing.
Mm-hmm. When you look back over your career, some of the lessons that you learned from Will that you've taken throughout your life, your adulthood.
Well, what I think I learned from Will more than anything is to do things systematically. Don't leave anything to chance. Will taught me a lot about that. And some of it I probably already knew, but Will was very systematic in everything he did, in his coaching techniques, in his scouting techniques. He had a system, and I had a system too. I don't know if you remember, John, but I used to send kids with stopwatches to check out our opponents of the next week.
Dr. John Telford, activist, educator, track coach, and author of Will the First, The Saga of Sports, Civil Rights Pioneer, Will Robinson. If you have questions, comments, or suggestions as to your future In Black America programs, email us at jhanson@kut.org. Also, let us know what radio station you heard us over. Remember to like us on Facebook and to follow us on Twitter. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station or of the University of Texas at Austin. You can hear previous programs online at kut.org. Until we have the opportunity again for technical producer David Alvarez, I'm John L. Hanson, Jr. Thank you for joining us today. Please join us again next week.
CD copies of this program are available and may be purchased by writing In Black America CDs, KUT Radio, 300 West Dean Keaton Boulevard, Austin, Texas, 78712. That's In Black America CDs, KUT Radio, 300 West Dean Keaton Boulevard, Austin, Texas, 78712. This has been a production of KUT Radio.